On our spiritual journey, we arrive at many profound insights that mark significant breakthroughs that elevate our level of practice. For example, at a certain point, we come to authentically realize that happiness is a state of mind, that whether we are at peace or not determines our experience of the situation. Again, later we come to understand that our ability to keep a peaceful mind depends upon where our focus of importance is. Is it on ourself, our wishes, our opinions, or on the well-being of others? We understand that self-cherishing is the root of all our suffering. In this way, there are many significant moments on our spiritual journey that act as stepping stones, taking us into a deeper level of practice. One of the most important of these insights is when we come to relate to ourselves as a spiritual traveler, so that we stop seeing the birth and death of this life as the outermost boundaries of our existence. We recognize that we have journeyed from life to life to life. And this insight changes everything. It changes what's important. It changes what's not important. We naturally develop an equanimity with respect to the worldly concerns that usually govern living beings' lives. It doesn't matter very much what people think of us. It matters what we're actually doing. It doesn't matter whether we're praised or criticized. It matters what virtuous minds we're embodying. Even wealth and health stop being as important because we can use sickness or we can use poverty to develop virtuous qualities of compassion and empathy and so forth. There are many meditations that are opened through this insight, fully understanding the laws of karma, and even the very beautiful meditation on recognizing all living beings as our mother, recognizing that we have had countless lives, and in each of those lives we'd had a mother who has cared for us, cherished us more than their own life. And this beautiful reflection allows us to feel close to everyone, whatever our relationship with them has been in this life. In his book, Meaningful to Behold, which is a commentary to Shantideva's Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, Venerable Geshe Kelsang Gyatso Rinpoche has a very beautiful passage in the context of explaining the meditation on recognizing all living beings as our mother, to help us gain this fundamental insight into our nature as a spiritual traveler. And I'd like to read this passage. So Venerable Geshe says, "The crux of the matter is our understanding of the nature of the mind. For it is through realizing that our mind is a formless continuum, and that this continuum is beginningless, that we will be able to understand the existence of previous lives. One way to meditate on this is as follows. We can look at our present stream of thoughts, perceptions, and emotions, all factors we identify as being mental, and trace it backwards to the mind stream of the previous moment, minute, and hour. Then we can trace this mind stream even further backwards, to yesterday, last week, and last year. Depending upon the sharpness of our memory, we can trace this mind stream back year by year until we approach the time of our birth. Even if we can trace it back to our stay in the womb or the moment of conception, we can never point to a time and say, at this instant, my mind came into being. In fact, some people who do this backwards tracing meditation are able to go beyond the moment of conception and remember the mind stream existing at the end of a previous lifetime. However, as this experience is not shared by very many people and is the object of many others' doubt, we cannot fairly use it as a proof that mind is a beginningless continuum. Rather, it is much more beneficial for us to gain a closer acquaintance with our own mind and question our own assumptions as to its nature and origin. To aid in this investigation, here are a few useful questions and observations to keep in mind. When we search for the source of our present body, we eventually come to the combined sperm and ovum of our parents. Can this also be the source of our mind stream? If we answer yes, many difficulties arise. How do we account for the marked differences between our mind and those of our parents and siblings? If our mind is traceable to our parents' germ cells, what is the relation between these cells and our parents' minds? Is the mind that something that can eventually be reduced to a physical cause? Or being essentially formless, must it not have a non-physical cause of its own, quite apart from the source of our physical body? Some people assert that the mind is a relatively blank slate at birth, with but a few prenatal impressions on it. They say that what we call the mind is merely the learned behavior we acquire as we grow and develop. Is such a theory satisfactory? Does it take into account differences in temperament between people, differences that have been noted even in newborn infants of the same family? Does it account for the complexity of mental behavior found in ordinary children, much less the unusual skills and aptitudes of exceptionally gifted youngsters? If we truly want to understand the nature of the mind and discover whether or not it is a beginningless continuum, we must consider these questions carefully. It is a fact that most people, even the educated and those whose professions deal directly with mental phenomena, possess nothing more than a vague idea of what the mind is. If our own views are similarly indefinite, if we do not have a coherent theory to explain the relationship between material form and non-material mind, then it is not wise to reject out of hand a theory based on logic, observation, experience, and the testimony of enlightened beings. At the very least, we should remain open-minded and look at the issue impartially. According to Buddhist thought, our stream of consciousness was present while we were a fetus. Going even further back to the moment of conception, this mind stream entered the embryonic cell formed by the union of our father's sperm and mother's ovum. Prior to this entry, this consciousness or mental continuum was the consciousness of a previous lifetime. Furthermore, the consciousness of that life arose from the one before that, and so on back into infinity. Even Buddha Shakyamuni's omniscient mind saw no beginning to this process. Therefore, if the continuity of mind is beginningless, we must have taken countless rebirths, and therefore must have had countless mothers. Consequently, there is not a single sentient being who has not, at one time or another, been our mother.